will announce his presence when he gets here. All right. Minutes approval for the January 6th, 2015 meeting. I don't know if everybody's had a chance to take a look at those. I read over them. I have no comments. All in favor?
Aye.
The minutes from January 6th are approved. And with that, just moving right through the agenda, let's go to old business and updates.
You want to do the work sessions first?
We're going to wait.
Oh, for Rock. Okay. We'll try to run through these.
When Rock shows up, we'll jump in.
Okay, sounds good. I just wanted to give the commission an update on the John Pollock grave nomination. So after the hearing, I write up the findings of fact, and it talks, you know, just goes over what the testimony and their deliberation was, and I send it to the property owner. And as you may recall, the gentleman that was here, he has lifetime rights, but he doesn't own the property. So his his foster son is the owner. And they had signed the nomination as the property owners. But he had some concerns about the conversation we had about that, you know, when we designate a historic site, it's on the parcel and it's not specific or, you know, delineated around the grave. I think Alex and Rock had mentioned that. So he was concerned and didn't like if that's how it was going to go. So I'm working with him on a compromise to find we think we have some legal description of an area around the grave that the title company had done. Mm-hmm. So what might happen is that I'll be coming back before you all with that nomination revised that shows that legal description as the kind of boundaries for the site, historic site, and then that will kind of, I think, appease everybody and make everyone more comfortable, and it's more relevant to what that spot is. And then we'll get it recorded and do the following. But this is kind of just how he would like to go, and I'm fine with that if you all are fine with that. So
it'd still be on the parcel, but then it would be some kind of a note on the
right.
Recorded with that.
Yeah, so yeah, like on the legal description, whenever we record it, it would have that specific delineation. It would be in the nomination itself, and then since it's in the city of Le Centre, I'd make sure that the city of Le Centre, when I, you know, let them know that this is a new site, that it's only for this part of the property, mm-hmm. so that they'll have that as their record.
So are you rewriting the legal?
Yeah.
Okay. So it'll run with the title.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. Exactly. So probably more, hopefully maybe we can get that in for the March meeting. So Tom's working with me on that one. The mobile app, we're chugging along. We're just kind of doing the interdepartmental agreement stuff between community planning and the city and GIS. So hopefully we'll get moving on that soon. But I just wanted to make sure that you all know that it's still happening and we're moving forward. So I'll keep updates monthly on that project.
Is there a target date for that to be completed?
Well, the grant, we have to have, I have kind of as part of their agreement with them that we have it done by the time, like it developed by the time that the grant is due, which is I think the end of August. So, you know, there could be some iterations after that, but it would be up and live and ready to go by then. So we'll try to do all the testing and whatnot before. So I'm sure you guys will be our subjects. The Washougal Railroad Bridge, and I'll have Sarah also step in because she was able to participate in the last conference call. But we've been continuously working or on conference calls with the mitigation group, which has been the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, who is kind of the lead on that, and the Department of Archaeology and Historic Preservation staff, and Washington Trust for Historic Preservation, us and BNSF's consultants. So we're at the point right now that we're just going through the language of the memorandum of agreement on the mitigation stuff. So ours is good. We have our video and the essay and the documentary thing. So now they're just kind of, there's wants to advertise the bridge in case there is an entity out there that could use it. For example, for like a rails to trail type of network where there's a crossing, and if that can be used for that. So they're going to put it out kind of to the community or to the state region that there's a bridge, and it would, so whatever demolition costs would go into taking apart the bridge would be used to give to someone who would transport it elsewhere. So that's kind of where they're finagling on right now. Sarah, did you have anything that you wanted to add to, since you were on the last call?
Yeah. Well, I'd say that the good news is that all of the wording that we really wanted about the video and specifics about that are happening. They're in it. Yeah. They're not being changed. So that's pretty neat. They're going to have the, they're going to record the demolition and rebuilding of that bridge and you know, capture it in a 10-minute video. So I think that's pretty neat.
Yeah. And I mean, I know, do you know what the, did they talk about more about the timeline of the project and when that could be happening?
Yeah, if I think if they actually get this last permit, this is the bottleneck permit from the Corps, if they get that in the next couple of weeks, then they might be able to mobilize their team from BNSF by the end of February or early March. And if they make that window, then they can get the work that they need to have happen on the ground before winter comes, because they can only work either between December and February. So if they can't make, I guess, this beginning time frame work, then I don't think they'll start the project till next year again.
Okay.
Who's the BNSF's consultant? HTSB or whatever?
It's Olson Associates. Okay. You go out of Nebraska.
So yeah, we'll see the, you know, the next, I think we're, it's gone out one more time for everyone's for review, and then the next step will just be the signatures. So community planning will sign, the Department of Archaeology and Historic Preservation, the Trust, the Army Corps, and then BNSF, and that'll be done. So, well, hopefully.
Share the painfulness of the phone call.
Yes, there's some
we'll
very
painful. It's a painful phone call.
Yes.
Well, I was on a phone call for one of those other bridges that I've been working on. And, you know, I kind of brought up the Washougal Bridge, and they were very interested. And they were like, well, you know, so it's, you know, saying, mentioning, well, maybe we could start streamlining this, because you guys have a lot of bridges, and we end up going through these same processes, but, you know, timing is probably the biggest impediment to that. So, be curious if they brought up discussions like that in any of your...
At the beginning, they did.
Yeah.
And then it kind of went away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it was Olson Associates that said they just weren't getting enough kind of definitive scheduling for the other bridges from BNSF to really add that into this project.
Okay, so we'll keep you up to date on that as it moves forward. The next item is non-recorded historic properties. As you remember, we have a list of 30 so historic properties that were never recorded, a certificate recorded with the deed. It was prior to 99 and before, so all sites that were listed before 99 didn't have that requirement. So we sent out a letter to all the property owners asking if they would voluntarily sign the certificate so that we could record it and so it could be protected for future purchasers of the property. They would know that it's a historic site. So we've received, I want to say 8 or 9 so far. We got the city one signed, and I'll get the county one signed. So we're getting at least some back, and it's also prompted some people to call in that, you know, wanted to kind of check in and weren't sure what the program was all about. And so I was able to talk to them about the incentives and, you know, special valuation if they were interested in doing some renovations. So I think it's been a positive kind of outreach for that. So I'll have Robert, if you could sign as chair the certificates for you today, and then we'll work on getting them recorded. So that was part of one of your budget items that you all approved.
Can we see which ones? I'd be curious.
Yeah, sure.
Do you have a list? Or?
Of all of them that have not been reported?
No, of all of them that you have responses on.
Yeah. If he doesn't know. So that's that, and I'll keep you updated as I keep getting them. I don't know if they'll trickle in or this will be it, but not bad.
Make one more follow up if you don't.
You could,
you know, another reminder.
Yeah, maybe mid year or.
And maybe based on some of the questions you're getting from people, maybe a little more information in the letter.
Definitely, good idea.
This is fairly major. Ulysses S. Grant.
Yeah.
The Slocum House in Astor Short Park.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're, I mean,
George
the ones.
C. Marshall House.
They're the most, I mean, because they were all the ones that were listed from the 80s into the late 90s. So it was all really really historic, significant ones. And it just wasn't a practice that they did then. And this is kind of ours, just making sure that all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted and that everyone's aware. Because no matter what, they are still on the historic register, and that's why I keep telling people, they're like, "Well, what if I don't sign it?" And I'm like, "Well, it doesn't matter. You know, and if you sell, you have to disclose that, you know, and this is just to protect it in case for some reason down the line, and you know that it gets sold by someone that doesn't let people know that we don't want to get in a situation where. They can say we didn't know, and then they want to, you know, demolish the property or whatnot. So it's just another protection. So people are understanding that. Okay, so upcoming nominations update. I think John and the city will have a couple come in March.
Yeah.
So we'll be getting those to you for review.
Is this going to be a fairly long update, John?
There's just two.
Just two?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just wanted to kind of check in because we know we had it on the last agenda, and I just want to inform you guys that they're going to be coming in March. So, and if not, then we'll let you know.
I was just thinking if it was going to take a little time, we jump into the work session.
No, this is it, unless John has anything to add.
Nope.
I just wanted to give you a heads up.
Okay, great.
Hey, Jack, I'm curious if any of the folks you spoke with didn't know prior to receiving this that their structures were on.
No, not anyone. I had some that were like, were just cautious about it and must have had kind of an interesting experience years ago. Mm-hmm. So they just were, you know, is this gonna, you know, are you gonna make me take my, you know, windows that I put back, you know, or like, you know, and I was like, no, you know, I'm just, you know, this is how we're trying to protect, because they're all about, you know, their house or their building, and so once I kind of, you know, calmed them down off the ledge and that we're not gonna come in and take over, they felt a lot better about it, and I think that kind of opened the door.
I was just curious
No, thankfully no. Thankfully no. So not yet.
Yeah.
We'll see. That's pretty much it. I had one other item that I just wanted to, I put it under old business and updates, and I just wanted to talk about was the Revitalize Washington Conference. And so we have the training dollars.
So the conference is May 6th through the 8th, and it's in Bellingham this year.
Right.
And we have $3,000 set aside in the training budget for staff and council and commissioner training. I had my assistant look today, and she figures about $400 per person for registration and hotel. So that doesn't include meals and travel. But so with $3,000, essentially we could get at least four commissioners up there if you're interested. So if people are interested in doing that, I didn't have a chance to look today to see if it's on there up on the website yet. But if you want, if you're interested, you know, please let me know, and we'll.
Yeah, it is
on the website. I looked
May 6th through the 8th. So it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
So that was it. That's all I have for old business and updates.
Okay. Well, it's a quarter after and we haven't seen Rock, so I think we should just jump into the work session at this point.
Okay.
Let's see, where should we begin? Any ideas? I'm starting on the logo.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I wasn't sure how many tonight was on.
I need to share.
Jackie made copies.
Yeah, I made copies for everyone, unless you have something different.
Great.
Yeah, so they all should have them.
John can use one.
I can use one.
And if our guests want to follow along.
So, I hate to give these things out in packet form because immediately everybody tears right through them. Like, you know, kind of no way around that. So, what I wanted to do is, following the last meeting, we talked about a few different directions to explore. So I took those, kind of broke them down here. These aren't necessarily in my, in ranking order of my favorites, but at least I just wanted to present them to you guys and get a conversation going and see what, if we're in one direction or another. So let's dig in to the first one. This first one, I like the idea of history connecting the dots. I think that's kind of lovely. And using the dots and color to, talk about the different aspects of the things that you guys work to preserve. It's not just buildings, which is a big thing we heard last time we were here. So, and it's a different look for a historical commission. Usually they're a pediment, a building. It's distinct. I like the palette. It's muted, classic. And again, these are very rough, so fonts could go either way. Historic, it might be a little fat, but at the same time, it stands out. Really easy to see.
Hey, Patrick, a refresher, what you need from them tonight is?
Right now, we just want to kind of talk about this. And what I'd like to do is present them, talk about why I made the choices I did, and then try to come up with one direction, and that might be aspects of different designs, but come up with one direction that we then move forward with. Sound good?
Mm-hmm. Do you want us to comment during this, or just...
Yeah, please comment away, because I'll be making notes and what you like, don't like. And with each one of these designs, I made a little mock-up just so you can kind of see the context. It kind of helps. And also, and I know this wasn't part of the gig, but I can't help myself. I started messing around with some language, connecting our future with our past. I think something like that really helps to kind of put forward the notion of connecting of the dots. So, any comments off the top of the head on this one?
I like the colors.
Yeah, I like the palette.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that historic stands out first rather than Clark County. Clark County.
And my thought with this is, it's a big name. So try to get it so where you can just glance at it and see exactly what it's about. So I kind of did that with all of these. All right, moving on. The second one here, we're calling it traditional. And this... I like this design. I think it's clean and it looks, it's clean, it's classic, it's really flexible, where you could do a lot with different colors. You see on the next page, there's different variations using a palette that was kind of pulled off of Officers Row buildings. I like the creams and that kind of muted and toned reds and blues. So it kind of fits with the historical nature of downtown, at least. And then with this one, on the mock-up, I was playing with the language again, and I like this as well, preserving our past to enlighten our future. So I was thinking a lot about what you guys should do here, and that is what you're doing. You're preserving these things so that in the future they get this big aha, and that's a big thing. So
It's when we feel like it was like a beer bottle label or something, you know, which actually I think has a lot to do with this downtown area, this center of the brewing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It is in our recent history. So.
And the storage is more legible.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I'm just, on the first one with the dots, the historic is kind of hard to read, but it's really clear on this one.
Yeah, I kind of like that badge element, that sort of self-contained label.
Yeah, and I think with the uses that your logo is going to be getting, which isn't many, really, it does lend itself well to that little stamp,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. This one, very simple, very clean. My thoughts are kind of bringing up the thoughts of flag, history, and the blood in the ground, you know, and moving forward in history and layers of time. Very simple. But again, sometimes we don't need to get too crazy with these things.
Is there one where it shows the colors? But is
yes.
Okay, so we're not to the house yet.
Oh, no, that's the last
one.
Okay.
I'm skipping.
So the mock-up for this third design with the little folder, that just gives you an idea of the different ways you can use these colors in this brand. So that, you know, immediately you'll look at the logo and you'll be like, well, that's not even really a logo. But it does, as you can see in this mock-up, you can really put forth an emotion. You can put, you know, you can put forward an identity with just this clean little icon of colors. So the final one, get to the building. This is an aspect of the leather house. I think the thing I like the most about this one is the palette down at the bottom on the second page.
Yeah. Palette.
Yeah, so that could be flexible. But again, you know, my concerns with this are that it's a historic building and it's one more historic preservation mission. It is the idea that that's all you do is historic building. I played around with the concept of like four different boxes. One was a house, one was a tree, one was like a wheel, one was a little mold with like some graves on it, and I started to ask. But the idea of kind of using these different elements might be something to explore too. Mm-hmm. So the final mock-up of this one, you can kind of see how it looks good with a single color. But again, I think it's a little limiting for me personally.
Yeah, I could see sizing issues with that. I mean, you know, obviously the building stuff could be cleaned up and simplified. But yeah, I think that's kind of one of the issues is will it look good on a card or way up in a corner, you know, photocopied piece of paper or, you know, on a banner, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, try to get it small in that top corner there. About what you'd see on maybe a letterhead. And it does, I mean, even if it's not clear, you still understand that that's a historic house. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, it's such a strong element that, I mean, I don't suggest you go that way, but that's just me. I think you guys do a lot more work.
Do you guys like how the oval effect is?
No.
You don't?
Yeah, I think in some of the ones where, like the flag one and the letter up one where they're separate, you know, you've got the graphic part separate from the... I kind of like that second one because it's just all in, you know, the unit. And it just seems sort of, like you said, you can stamp it, you know, see it as a stamp on something or...
I can see there's a metal plaque.
Yeah.
On the side of the house.
Yeah. Or,
well, I wonder if there's a way to combine sort of some architecture into, what are we calling it, plaque? Number
label.
Two,
label.
Beer label. Beer label. So let's say microbrew label. So what I was thinking is like the cupola, is there a way to combine that sort of in a small area of the microbrew label?
I think you'd be getting too much going on in one place. I think this already is pretty maxed out, you know, with what I'm comfortable with. And I think if you were to put another element in there, something would have to give. You'd have to make those, the words even smaller.
I did. I invited her to come in.
Patrick, as you do the mock-ups, is it possible to do a mock-up, you know, similar to what you've done with the portfolios and such here and the business cards, except do it like what it would look like on an app that someone's opening or, you know, a banner on a web page?
Sure.
Because I think that's, you know, one of the reasons why we're going down this road is to find something that really transfers across all those mediums. And I like this stuff. I'm just having a hard time visualizing how this is going to look on my iPhone or something.
On the microbrew label, I think the Clark County part should be larger, and I think that should be a little more prominent. And I think, you know, commission's misspelled, so...
Oh, geez, it is.
Correct
that. Threw that one in there for you guys.
Make sure we're paying attention. Right?
Yeah, good job. So, just first thoughts, are there any that you definitely don't like, want to throw out, or... is there a general consensus on maybe one or two?
I'm not a fan of the last two, but I do like the typeface of the flag one. The way it changed, you know, you have the serif and the sans serif together. But you do that in the label too, so.
I like the color scheme of the muteds a little better than I like the one that you really like. I like the burgundy and the green. And I think
on concept, which one? One, two, three, or four?
You've got a whole lot going on here.
Three.
So I like this.
Okay.
But I think rather than have this be kind of a flax seed, it should be more a crew, like lighter cream.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Because I think that would make the other colors pop more.
The thing with that is when you start putting cream on the white, it almost goes away, but...
Right, but it's not, it would be like an ecru, like a dark... This has a brown overtone, mm-hmm. So it would be more of a...
And again, like thinking about foam, you want to make sure that if there's going to be a color element, that it doesn't sort of disappear in the background of a white screen background. Something like that.
Mm-hmm. That probably makes it more important that we have some kind of a frame around whatever we're doing, even, you know, if we went with something, one of these others that don't have a frame like the labels do, then just so that we have whatever, it would stand out because it's out of order.
I think I like the microbrew label and the house the best. I think the first one's very, I like the concept, but I don't look at that and relate that to historic properties or, just, I like the idea though. And I think it's also for children, it's not gonna, I mean, my daughter would stare at this for a while.
Poke it out.
Yeah, she would, but she wouldn't get it. It would take her a while. And, you know, my passion here is to bring younger preservationists, younger than we are, through the ranks. So my vote would be 2 or 4,
okay,
with a fairly strong color palette. And if we go with 2, we'd probably want to tweak that a little bit. If we go with 4, I like 4, but I'm probably the minority here without rock. Where is that guy?
Was he leaning towards having an architectural?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, I thought he wasn't.
Yeah, I didn't think he was.
I think he was, yeah, actually more opposition for it. Because that's right, because he said, I'm the architect. But
I like
it would be good, though, to be sure to get his input on all of these.
Mm-hmm.
I like the connecting our future with our past logo. Or slogan that came up with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't have
there
to go with the dots, but I just like that slogan.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I agree. It's nice to have that tagline.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like that one better than the...
Yeah, this one's good, too.
Preserving our past
mm-hmm.
to enlighten our future.
What was the other one? So I see that one. Where's the other one?
Yeah.
So I got that one. Where's
the other one? It's on the dots.
Have that motto even without the dots. The connecting, I know. Kind of loses something.
Well, it's something, like I said, you remind people of some of the work, the fact that we had a brewery down right in the middle of our downtown, and now we have all these little microbreweries moving in, and so it is kind of this interesting...
She's going barely.
I remember when
I do too.
I was born here, so that was the beginning of my memories.
Yeah. I was born here too.
I remember walking by that brewery
every
day.
Smaller breweries moving in is kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's a good point.
Highlights exactly what we're talking about.
That's why it's not so far off.
So, what's our time frame here for? Because Rock's not here. And
I'm on your guys' frame, so what I would suggest, since he's not here, maybe you all sit with these, kind of look at them for a few days, step away, come back to them. And I encourage you to not, it's going to sound silly, but don't overthink this. Because a lot of times, especially with a group this large, we'll get into analysis paralysis where nothing is right and we have to start over. And then we end up with vanilla, and nobody likes that. But that being said, if we could go around and maybe get everybody's 1 and 2 top choices, just so we could see if there's a general consensus.
I'd like to ask if the public has any thoughts. You two being the public.
I like 2.
You like 2? The microbrew label?
I think of it as a plaque, but...
Yeah, I see like a vintage store sign.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Too,
yeah.
Exactly.
And why do you like it?
It says history to me. It's got that vintage look and feel. It's not just words in a picture. It's encapsulated, and I like that it has a border and that it's not square. It's got a lot of character to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I also agree with you. Maybe if we can get Clark a little bigger, because I think you do want to find pride in Clark again, right? Mm-hmm. Clark. So maybe somehow with that. I also like that this has a border. I like that it's not a square because it's faded. It does, to me, look vintage. But I also like that you guys maybe get a slogan, because, I mean, so many things have a slogan. Different advertising. I think that would be good to have a slogan like preserving the past and enlighten the future. I like that one. And another thing is I'm interested in how you're saying 4 things, because when you're saying that, I was picturing like a book or something. That would be the knowledge. And then you said a building, and then maybe you guys can think of other areas that you're trying to do, like, because the book is like you're teaching the young all about things. So I kind of would like to see something where maybe you have it in a border, it's still simple, but you are bringing different elements. If I agree, I don't think you just want one building, because then that makes me start thinking just that Ledbetter House. And I think this is your opportunity to say, this is what we do, a variety, you know, and linking it in their heads that it is the past, the future connection. So, and I like the muted colors, I agree. These are soft. And I like how this one, you're right, it can go up to a big banner, go down. I think you guys are right. You want one that you can get the most bank out of your money and use it for a long time on all sorts of things. So,
that's kind of great. What do you think? I think I like this one because it's simple to see, and you can really kind of see its character in it. Mm-hmm.
Future has spoken.
Yes.
He likes the black.
I'm taking it home to show to my 10-year-old daughter now.
All right.
See what she says.
Alex, how about you?
Well, I gotta say, I'm sort of drawn towards the classic, you know, the same one. And I think in a way it sort of evokes buildings, historic buildings, because like you said, you can sort of imagine it on a historic building as the as the plaque kind of thing.
Or on a beer label.
Or on a beer label. So I kind of feel like it does get that without shoving a building, you know, front center. So it does feel like the safest one. I feel like it's probably the least...
even more than what was it, the flag one, even more than that one.
Yeah, because I almost feel like that's so simple, it's almost going, I mean, you know, if you take a survey of, you know, and I'm sure you did, look at historic preservation, most of them have pediments in the, you know, the architectural, but, you know, there's certainly plenty of sort of this getting into this
right.
style.
Yeah.
But I think it works, and I think the dot one... It's nice, but I don't know if it has the lasting, the staying power.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of feel like in 10 years, somebody it might kind of look out of, it almost might look dated, mm-hmm. you know. The, whereas this, I feel like it's just classic looking, and, you know, it's clear.
And I think that one would be very flexible, like, on dark backgrounds, mm-hmm. on light backgrounds, you know, it could really have a few different looks, but every time it would be very consistent.
Yeah. So I think my second choice is probably the Ledbetter one, but I think with some changes, but it's sort of a distant second.
Okay. What about you, Sarah?
I think the label one would be my favorite, and also I do like the dots, but just because it was so different than the others. A different type of label. That would be my second choice out of all of them. I didn't want it to look... I mean, this one just seems way too plain, the one with just the flag.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ledbetter House, you know, that feels too tethered to Canis. I work for Canis. I see that house every single day. You know, so for me, that's kind of a vision I don't need to see every place I go. So, I mean, you know, it's a beautiful house, but that's why that one would be. Maybe if it was a different building, I'd feel differently, but...
Okay. Robert?
So I agree with Alex and Shell. I like 2 and 4. Preference being 2 to the beer label or the whiskey label or whatever you want to call it. I keep thinking like old-fashioned number
thirsty
7
people.
Washington bourbon. Are
we going out after this?
I know.
I do agree with Shell. If I kind of do the old, you know, stand back, close your eyes, and open your eyes and see what you see first, I see historic just kind of jump out over everything else.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit too much, so the historic font can maybe be just a wee bit smaller, and the other fonts maybe just a wee bit bigger. And with, you know, kind of what Alex was saying, I like the architectural design. I think there was some momentum to go that direction in our first conversation. But I also agree that it looks
pretty busy, you know, for such a small image. And in something like a phone app or something, it's hard to see how that's going to translate. So all that being said, I would just go back to my previous comments. I think we really need to kind of have an idea of the mock-ups in sort of a digital format, because that's going to be most of the usage. I mean, it would be great if we could do up portfolios and go out and engage the public and say, here's this nice brochure, but we really don't have that type of budget. You know, it'd be great if we could do a big banner and have it hang across the street, but we're never going to have that type of budget. So
yeah.
I think we just need to think more of digital.
Digital and documents.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Letterhead.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
All right. Well, we'll...
I have a few things to say. I agree with all of my colleagues. And I think that the stressing on the digital is right on the money, because we keep saying, you know, banner, he's probably right, that's not going to happen. But if we do the beer can label, I think it should be three colors, and I think historic should be smaller, and I think it should be a contrasting font. And the reason I say that is that it'll give it a little more continuity with the scroll work. And I think Clark County should be sizably bigger. And the thing that I think should maybe be the third color would be the stars and the scroll work. And the other thing, I don't know if we can do some sort of a date on there. Clark County's incorporation, Robert. Any kind of a date on there to give it sort of a feel for a time? If any, there's any interest in that.
I think that starts getting awkward again, because you're not the Preservation Commission just for Clark County. I mean, it's for Vancouver and Camas, and so that starts getting...
And then you also have prehistoric sites, which date, you know, presumably
yeah,
that's we're
true.
Also concerned
yeah.
about that. So
yeah.
I think the date would kind of be limited.
So anyway.
Certainly could see it there, though, on this file, though, right? Established.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, but if it's Wynn Clark, well, that's true, Native American element.
Yeah.
Okay, great, great. Well, it sounds like there's a lot of consensus over this label one, but I think it's important that we hear Rock's feedback as well. So why don't
we
pass
them up
to him?
Yeah. I'll follow up with Rock, and without hearing what I'll ask him to just kind of what he first thought, and maybe put up a couple paragraphs together for us all to read, review, and kind of let him know where the consensus was with everybody, and
okay.
hand that all over to you. And
wonderful. Yeah, if he has any requests
okay.
or suggestions, that'd be great. I want to get that feedback. I'll compile all that and do a couple more revisions and some mock-ups.
Great.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks again for your time, everybody.
Yeah, thanks, Pat.
Yeah. Thank you.
See, we're not that difficult to work with. A lot of people to work with.
Pardon? No, nobody got mad. Nobody was throwing anything.
Because we're not drinking yet.
That's right. Thinking about it.
So it's interesting how it's kind of weighted to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But that was intentional.
Yeah. The weight of time. All right. Thanks again, guys. Have a good night.
You
thanks.
Too.
Thank you, Patrick.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Want to move on to the lecture series? Topics?
Yeah. Lecture series topics. So I guess before we jump into that, I did send out the list. I wasn't really sure how, you know, I mean, there's just sort of a brainstorm. I'm not committed to any of those ideas at all. It's just Jan or Jackie had asked, you know, if you had any ideas, send them forth, get the ball rolling. So I sent those out. And then, Katie, maybe you can give us a little bit of feedback in terms of how the process goes. Are you just going to sort of look at the commission's ideas and then pick one?
Typically, we do one. I mean, so the
okay.
and the commission figures out the speaker and
coordinates it all.
But I wasn't clear on that.
The May date, first of all, is the Revitalized Washington Conference, so that's not a very good date for the commission-sponsored lecture.
Right.
And then I checked with Katie, and she already has that date filled. So there's August and September left, right?
Yeah. August, okay. Do we want to hold one of those?
I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
A lot of people are gone in August. Like, a lot.
First Thursday in September?
Yeah, I can hold that.
That's the first week of school.
Mm-hmm.
And we had talked to DAP about them doing the lecture.
Are they always the first Thursday of the month?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. called, yep. Yeah. Aren't they called?
I guess I prefer the first Thursday in August because I know that we're taking a big trip out of the country and we'll be gone the first week of September. So I won't participate in these events. So.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll probably be gone in August as
well.
Is October available?
No. That's the opening of our major exhibit, so we always have the curator speak for that one.
You want to do a straw poll? What works for the most of us?
Yeah, there are a couple that we are waiting until we get notification that we've got the grant money, so there are a couple that may be flexible, and May is one of those. But if the conference is going on at the same time, that doesn't really help.
What about June?
I'll have to check.
I just think there's a lot of people gone in August. We'll be gone.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of future plans for people.
Yeah.
Both of those months,
really. Yeah. So maybe June. People are still here because school's still in session.
Yeah. I mean, we have people who come every
yeah,
month.
No matter what.
So, yeah. But, you know, there's always going to be somebody who's gone. But if all of you are here in June and that would work better, then I can see if we can shift that one. We have it tentatively booked. I just can't remember who it is right now.
All right.
It's July. We don't meet, right?
Typically not because of the building is in 4th of July mode.
Yeah.
And looking at the list, I have to say that I've been told that anytime we do something about Kaiser, 100 people come.
Oh, is that good or bad?
No, it's great.
Okay.
It's
okay. So yeah, typically, I guess how we've done them in the past, like last year we did the architects. So Andy and Eric, got together and worked with the speakers and pulled the panel together and worked with the museum on doing that. And then another time we coordinated and one of our commission members had a contact with the historian from McMenamin, so he got him to come and do the lecture. So there's various, you know, you could be, if you have expertise in one of these and you want to take one on, that's an option. Or if you know someone that you think would be a great speaker to talk on one of these, that's another way. So kind of what your opportunities are and kind of go from there. Because you obviously have to have someone that can talk about it.
Yeah, I threw out the Shire idea because I'm pretty well networked with the U of O Yon Center crowd and can find people who are really good speakers to come in and do that.
What is that?
But
yeah, tell us about it, yeah.
Is anybody aware of the Shire? Okay.
Not only my Hobbit.
So,
No, we're not talking Lord of the Rings here.
So, there was a time, mid-20th century where a company was looking to buy a big plot of land and they were going to build like a big mill or something directly across the Columbia River from Multnomah Falls. And if you can imagine, I mean, think about the paper mill down in Oregon City at Oregon Falls and Willamette Falls and just how ugly that looks. So John Yon, being an architect and son of the Yon family, which are timber barons and real estate entrepreneurs in the Portland area around the turn of the century. he stepped in and got really active and bought that property and prevented that from happening. And so Jan's mostly known for his for the houses that he's developed and a couple of pieces of commercial architecture, but this was his private landscape architecture preserve, and it's not open to the public. It's kind of there for special tours that the U of O arranges. But it's really a beautiful site, as you can imagine, because it's right across the river from Multnomah Falls. It was, when Jan died, it was turned over with a couple of his houses to the University of Oregon, and they established the Jan Center. And so they maintain it, and it's in Skamania County, so it's not really a Clark County thing, but it's a beautiful property and something that people probably don't know that much about here. So I don't know if it would really be a big draw in terms of, you know, getting people to show up, especially on in the summer. That might be a concern, but it's an interesting property. And, you know, I mean, some of my ideas, I think, were kind of obvious. It sounds like last year we did the famous architect thing, so we can strike that one. And
well, we did it on Stewart. I don't know.
We did one on Hillborn.
Did we
too.
Do Hillborn?
Okay. At the Kiggins.
Oh, that's right. We did.
Yeah.
I know, have you had contact with Bill Roulette much?
Not yet, no.
He has an archaeology firm over in Portland, but he's from Southwest Washington originally, but he's really interested in historic archaeology. He's done a lot with Kaiser Shipyards. And they did a excavation down there 2-3 years ago, and they presented at the Northwest Anthropological Conference. It's called Challenging the Master Narrative. And so, you know, we have this idea of these very patriotic workers going to work every day. Well, the artifacts they found sort of show a little bit of drinking on the job. And,
it's our theme tonight.
Yeah. So it was a good presentation.
Where is the site?
Down at the Kaiser Shipyards.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, people doing welding graffiti, just kind of goofing off at work kind of things. But it was a good presentation, just in that way. So I could certainly talk to him. Bill's not one to necessarily give presentations, but he's got employees who will do a good job for that. So
yeah, I know we've had a presentation about cancer before, but I don't know who gave it.
Okay.
But
well, Bill was the one who, I think he donated a lot of the artifacts from the Convention Center and the Columbian excavations.
Yeah, I've seen his name a lot. Yeah. I just haven't made contact yet.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are enough Kaiser stories to fill more than a couple of talks. So.
Mm-hmm. True.
So if you're, if that would be a thought, I'd be happy to talk to him about that, because he's pretty enthusiastic about it.
Cool.
Yeah, the one here that I thought would be really interesting is kind of a history of Bill Gates and Paul Allen here in Vancouver. Is anybody?
No, I didn't know.
Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't know who would be an expert on it to invite to talk. The only reason I know is because I read Paul Allen's autobiography. And lo and behold, after they finished high school and they were already developing this reputation as being pretty good programmers at a time when they were in high demand, they got recruited down here to work at BPA. So they would go down underground to the top secret room where they have clearance and stuff like that. And they did it. But it's interesting because they shared an apartment somewhere here in Vancouver and lived in the area for about a year. Bill Gates apparently broke his arm water skiing out at Lake Camas one time. So, interesting story and very famous personalities. But again, I'm sure people would be interested, but I don't know where you would go get that story.
You can call the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. See if
I thought about it. I thought about it.
Well, it's like Willie Nelson also getting his start in Vancouver.
DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's something. I mean, maybe famous people from Clark County, you know, just do a little aside lecture? Like, who's from Clark County? Because that's interesting, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah, they're not... None of them are from Clark County, but...
Or who spent time here. Connections,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Right?
No, the NASCAR driver that campus now has a street named after.
Really?
Biffle?
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
Greg Biffle?
Yeah. He supposedly grew up in Camas, but all the news articles report him as being from Vancouver. Yeah.
I think he's from Camas.
He's from Camas, so we have a street named after him. So I'm just adding
him
to our, you know,
yeah. Camas to take that.
Talking about
yes. We can't forget her. She lived in Camas. We can do tours of these apartments and these sites.
Yeah. It could be like Hollywood.
This is the bar.
No, but seriously, I mean, Ulysses S. Grant signed a bunch of... We could go back through time. We could link all of these characters together. Famous people with links to Clark County. You know, how many land deeds have you seen that Ulysses S. Grant signed? He never did live in that house, by the way. He complained and whined and said it was cold and drafty. He wrote all these letters to his wife complaining about this whole area. He didn't like it here at all.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, his desk is still over there. I mean, it's just interesting how many people, you know,
came through here.
So, Katie, you're going to let us know if June's available. And, I don't know, Kaiser?
Robert, did you have anyone that you knew about the your other items, or?
For example?
Let's see. The architects we kind of done, right? I just want to make sure we hit all of these. The
shipyards.
What about the, what is it, the Bacchus of Portland? Did I say that?
Oh, Bauhaus.
The Bauhaus?
A.E. Doyle and Associates. Everybody familiar with A.E. Doyle?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So A.E. Doyle was sort of like this one architectural firm that did all kinds of buildings in Portland and really dominated it around the turn of the century. So, for example, Multnomah Falls Lodge is A.E. Doyle.
Okay.
Multnomah Library Downtown is A.E. Doyle and Associates. Pietro Belluschi, after the First World War, when he immigrated to America, everybody know who Pietro Belluschi is?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He did the U.S. Bancorp Tower downtown Portland. He did the Pan American Building. For a while, he was professor of architecture at Harvard, I think, for a period of time. So he's by far one of the Northwest's most famous architects. And so he was there, and he really got started there. John Yon, of course, was there. Herman Brookman, a number of people.
Mm-hmm. Is there any tie into, did they do anything here?
That's a good question. I'm not too sure.
Okay.
I'm just not sure. Okay. Interesting story. Oh, yeah. Donald Stewart was in A.E. Doyle alum.
They worked together.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay, well.
I think the Kaiser Shipyards might be more broadly appealing because many people are not going to know who the architects you just talked about are, so.
Oh, definitely. Katie said Kaiser brings them in, so we know we get a room and get people to come.
We're
at the same time, if that's kind of a common theme to hit upon to draw people in, I'd like to do something that's a little bit out of step, personally.
Well, and yeah, I mean, I think if it's a good story,
people will come.
People will come. And so, you know, we had a pretty good turnout for the woman who recently released a book on the building of the Columbia River Highway. And there were just a lot of interesting stories behind how that all came to be and all the work that went into it and then how the tunnels got demolished in the 60s and because they weren't safe anymore. And, you know, so, and she had a lot of pictures and things like that. So...
So the city is required by the state of Washington, and I won't go into all the backstory on this, but we're doing a new interpretive plan for the Kaiser Shipyards story for our property down there that's part of the old shipyards, and then once the National Park Service, we're contracting with the Park Service, who did the archaeology work down there to do the plan, and then we have to pick two of the items and we have to implement them. So that'll happen sometime. The plan will be this year and the implementation will be next year.
That's good to know.
Yeah, it needs new interpretive components down there. That viewing tower and the interpretive panels are just trashed.
And I think on this subject, somebody had mentioned that DAP gets involved. Do they typically...
We had asked them if they would come and give the lecture, but we don't have to do that.
Oh, okay.
Who's asked?
So, and they said they're, you know, they said they're obviously willing to come down and do a lecture if we want them to, but that's not a requirement.
Right.
So that would be Michael who gave the architectural.
It could be, or it could be. I mean, there's several people that.
I really liked his presentation. That was, you guys weren't there, but that was informative. And
I had saw it though at the Revitalize Washington last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed him.
Yeah.
It was well attended.
But if we don't do it in May, we have a little more time, so this could be a discussion next month.
Right, yeah.
And okay.
Kind of find out who.
Make sure we have the date and.
Should I even try and reach out to Bill at all, or just hold off?
I think you should reach out.
I mean, just to see if there was any interest.
Yeah, I mean, he may not even be available to do anything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Why don't you let Katie get the date, get back to us? Can you just email me about the date?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that we know what we're dealing with, June, August, or September.
Yep.
Okay. Cool. All right. More to come then on that.
It's going to be good, though, Katie. We're going to set a standard here.
I want to say for the March meeting, we're going to come with the plans for the West Barracks for you guys. So it's not on the local register, but we always try to do a courtesy review. So it'll be Doug Wilson and I will be coming with the plans.
What does that mean, coming with plans?
For the four buildings that we're rehabilitating in the West Barracks?
Mm-hmm. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Should be. Their architect is moving right along.
Are you guys needing AV or anything?
I would imagine it would be easier to see them if we put them up on the screen. Okay. Let me check with Doug, though.
All right. I'm just going to make sure everything's hooked up for us and the laptop's here. Okay. Anything else before we move? I don't have any items under new business and announcements, but I don't know if anyone had any that they'd like to share.
I was just going to bring up the fact that I saw the Revitalize conference got announced, but you already covered
that. Great. Did you guys, John or Jan, have anything?
No. Okay. I've done mine.
All right. Katie, anything coming up that you want to...
Oh, well, we've got our this month's first Thursday. It's called Deep Roots and Strong Branches. It's a dramatic reading of oral histories that are by the descendants of some of the first African-American families here.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that's tomorrow, Thursday.
Thursday.
So
where
is
that?
Museum. So I wanted to ask you, maybe in the fall you all had done a workshop on... for people that were researching their historic properties. Mm-hmm. How'd that go?
Well, they always go.
So you have them regularly?
We do, yeah.
Okay.
We actually have one this Saturday.
Really?
Yeah.
And is it like by RSVP kind of thing?
Yeah, I think we've got 8 people signed up for Saturday.
I'd love to post that on the preservation program's website.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
If you guys have, especially if you have like a set schedule.
We don't really. I mean, we just do kind of randomly.
Okay. Okay. Because that's a great resource for people that I'm sure if they were thinking about it, could think
about.
And
I remember when I heard about it before, I wanted to make it to it.
Yeah.
I won't be able to make it to this one either. So.
Yeah, and it's just $15, so it's a pretty good deal. But I'll send you something.
Cool.
And then we've also started a new program, and Valentine's Day is going to be our first one, but. It's called Explore Corps, and it's for kids 8 to 12. And we've created a game that's kind of like Clue, but it's all about local history. and they do a scavenger hunt and a craft, and it's about 3 hours that the kids are there. So
cool.
We're excited. So on Saturdays or when is it?
Right now we just have one scheduled, and that's on Valentine's Day.
Okay.
So we'll schedule more.
And then Thursday, what time is Deep Roots and Strong Branches start?
7 o'clock.
At the museum.
Mm-hmm.
And how much is that?
It's regular admission, so it's $4.
Actually, I was going to reach out to you, Katie. Do we get free admission being a sponsoring?
You should. We hadn't really talked about
that. We've got our little passes for the Architectural Heritage Center, but we don't really have anything for the museum. And
bring
your beer
you have to buy. Yeah. Or you're buying the beer.
On a beer.
Absolutely appropriate.
So I can just show up there and say, do you know who I am?
Katie's buying beer.
I'll let the front desk know and just tell them you're with the commission, Historical Preservation Commission.
Who should soon have business cards that say that.
That's right. Let's get this later.
Also, Katie, how long is that exhibit at the train station going to go? Because I've been reading all about it and I'm excited for it.
Oh, good.
Part, but
yeah. I forgot to bring flyers. I was going to do that. We have a 10-year contract, so it'll be there 10 years.
2025.
Oh, well, I guess I got time then.
Yeah. Go see it now.
Sometime Katie can tell you the backstory on getting that exhibit in.
But yeah, they see about 96,000 people a year through there.
Really?
And I'm figuring at least 25% of them are going to stop and look at the panels, and the diorama is really great. And we've got QR codes on every panel so we can add and change the content, over time. We're going to be doing oral history interviews and putting those in. And so it's
cool.
Pretty cool.
Did you see the letter in the paper? Somebody was raving about the exhibit, but saying we needed to clean up the
the
railroad tracks.
Yeah,
put some trees.
The working.
In.
But I do like that partnership, though. I mean, I think it was a good idea.
Yeah, this has been at least, I don't know, 5 or 6 years
the
making.
Yeah.
Just the contract was signed in January 2011, so I'm sure it took a couple of years before that of negotiating and planning before the contract was signed. So. It has been, it's been cursed. It's one thing after another went wrong, but it's done now.
Okay.
Yay.
Great. Okay, that's all I have.
All right, any public comment this evening?
No, just keep working what you guys are doing. And I'm excited to hear what the museum's having, and can't wait for the walk to start again. And I'm excited, really excited to see what you guys are going to do with the barracks. And someday I'm sure you'll start talking about the academy, which I'm excited about. And so, a lot of cool things up and coming.
Okay.
Great.
I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.